Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Following On County Cricketer. I'm John Norman, TalkSport's cricket editor, alongside Nick Friend from the Cricketer magazine and two-time county championship winner Steve Harmison. Every single week we look back and forward at all the action in the county championship, and there's plenty to get our teeth stuck into this week again with some brilliant individual efforts as well as some great backs to the wall team performances as well. We're going to go across Division 1, Division 2. We're going to hear your questions and we'd like you to get involved as well. So drop us a line on Twitter, cricket_TS, or via the Cricketer Mag or Harmy, or just leave a little question below the YouTube show if that's how you are viewing us. If you're listening, of course, on podcast, it's the Following On County Cricketer, and on TalkSport 2, it is the only dedicated radio show that concentrates solely on county championship cricket. Right, plenty to talk about this week, so let's get underway. So Harmy, Nick, no George this week. He's having his birthday celebrations overseas. Happy birthday to him. First things first, you were at Durham the last few days, Harmy, not to watch county cricket, but to chat to your old mate and the New England Test captain for the men's team, Ben Stokes. How did that go?
Yeah, it went well. I think ECB have had a good couple of days off the field, and it's not been said for a while, to be honest. I thought Rob Key spoke brilliantly. I'm biased here because they're really two people who are really close to me and I think the world of. I thought Rob Key spoke brilliantly in his press conference with, you know, the journalist and managing director's job. Oh, Ben Stokes was brilliant yesterday. I really did. He was so refreshing. He was so relaxed. And it's easy. It's easy to say what he's saying because he hasn't had a game yet. We all say this before the very, very first week. Yeah, every county dressing room thinks they're going to win the league. Every county dressing room thinks they're going to have a T20 finals day. That heavyweight boxer going and then gets popped on the nose in the ring. Bang, over you go. So Ben Stokes has said the right thing. He looked in good order, but unfortunately, when the 2nd of June comes, it's about who he picks, how he goes about his job, and that's what he'd be judged by. And he more or less said that. He said that he'd be judged on what had happened. I can see, he says he looks as though he's probably going to bat six, which I think is a good move. Ruled out Joe Root as vice-captain, who would be, people would say, be an obvious choice because he's the only other name on the team sheet that's guaranteed playing. But I think all in all, I think Ben Stokes has had a good day yesterday. We're in front of the journalists and I think he'll do a fantastic job as England captain.
Brilliant stuff. Well, let's just hear a little bit of that, actually. Ben Stokes having a little chat with our very own Steve Harmison.
I don't think that's a job that is an easy thing to ever turn down to anybody. Obviously, you've got to put some thought into it because it's not just a, yeah, all right, I'll have it a go. You know, there's a lot of things to consider, but no, there was no hesitation.
And how will the England side look, I don't know how close you are to Joe, how will the England side look under Ben Stokes?
I think, you know, the one thing that I've always wanted in, you know, teammates and people who I play with is selflessness and always making sure that at the top of everyone's mind is what can I do, what can we do to win this game. Having that message sort of at the top of everyone's mind is a very good place to start.
And you took a time away from the game. Me, I know that more than anybody, what it's like to be, to struggle mentally. It's not like a broken leg. It's not like a busted knee. It's not an easy fix. How are you going to manage that?
You know, obviously, what you don't want to do is you know, almost make mental health like a stigma or anything like that. And you know, I chose to take time out of the game because I needed to at that time. And, you know, I've, you know, I now speak to people and I will continue to speak to people. But for me, having gone through quite a lot of experiences, you know, in my cricket career, on the field, off the field, I see that as a very powerful thing, well, powerful thing for me to have experienced, because I have an understanding of what on the field things can sometimes do to people, what off the field things can do to people, because I'm hope that if anybody else, whilst I'm in charge, feels like something might be getting a little bit too tough for them or on top of them, that they can come to me because I've been there. So I don't see it as, you know, as some people might write it, as a negative thing. You know, if anything, I see it as a positive thing, that me being captain, having gone what I've gone through over the last couple of years, you know, can hopefully help not just young players, but, you know, older players as well, if they feel like they've gone through a tough time.
So that was Steve Harmison at the Riverside alongside the new men's England test captain, Ben Stokes. Nick, from a county perspective, you see a lot of cricketers, don't you, that are seen as England first and county very much second, or maybe England first, second and third, and then county fourth. But, you know, how do you see Ben Stokes, the county cricketer, as opposed to Ben Stokes, the international or IPL player?
I mean, they've not seen a huge amount of them, have they, in recent times, certainly in white ball cricket, I think I'm right in saying. But I think there's something quite nice about, you know, unveiling Ben Stokes, the Durham player, at the Riverside, rather than some sort of sanitised, you know, Lord's reception on the other side of the country. I think it's important, and probably especially important given obviously Durham's situation with Test cricket at the moment. And I think Joe Root was unveiled at Headingley, so I'm not sure it's a one off thing, but no, I like that. And, you know, I think we've seen how proud Ben Stokes is of playing for Durham numerous times. You know, he by his own admission came back early last year, didn't he, probably to his own detriment, but to play for Durham, and obviously went off and played for England and skipped those ODIs, but it was probably too early for me once again. So I think no one is going to be surprised by the Ben Stokes England are getting as captain. I think it'll just be this Ben Stokes they've had before, won't it? Someone who sort of throws their, I mean, heart and soul into everything he's done for Durham, for England, for everyone he's played for, really. So I think he's someone who's, I think what came out of that ODI series that he skipped last year was the respect that a lot of these guys who'd not played for England before had for him, but also the way that he dealt with a lot of young England cricketers and these sort of young players coming to international game for the first time. So I think purely on that level, I think it is a guy with a lot of respect for, you know, I guess for everyone who's on the circuit, you know, he's been part of very successful Durham sides, perhaps unfashionable Durham sides, for want of a better word, guys in that team in 2013 that won the title that, you know, haven't necessarily been England cricketers, someone like Chris Rushworth, but, you know, who's been a brilliant county cricketer for a decade and more. So I'd like to think that all that stuff adds up into someone that I think the guys on the circuit are just extremely fond of. And I guess, how can you not, I mean, I've not been a professional cricketer, but I'd like to think that everyone that has been, you know, would look at someone of Ben Stokes' character and achievements and some of the sort of superhero things he's done on the field and off the field as well, and sort of, I guess, just have an enormous, almost more than respect, sort of an enormous sort of awe, yeah, admiration for the guy.
I think that, John, can work against, if the person, it'll sound like I'm going to have a go at KP here, but if you look at somebody like Kevin, when Kevin was captain, you've got this enormous figure, enormous ego, fantastic player, best player for me that played for England. If it's not open-hearted from Kevin's point of view, being welcoming towards everybody, then it can be a detriment, because whoever walks into that England dressing room is going to see Ben Stokes with this huge pedestal that he's on, because not only is he England captain, but England's best player. It's a bit like Joe Root, and this is where Joe and Ben are brilliant, because no matter who comes into that dressing room, they feel at ease. They're talking to the person and not the sort of the character of the cricket character. They're talking to the human element of the person in charge. And I think what Nick was mentioning there, when Ben went to lead the ODI side last year, the noises that I got from the people that were in it, who hadn't played a lot of international cricket or been involved in international setup, was the way Ben Stokes looked after everybody. He was like, well, the person Ben Stokes, rather than the character went on the field, but the person was in the dressing room, the person was in the meeting, the person was in the hotel, and there was a warmth to the person. And I think that's what Ben will be good at. I'm not saying Kevin wasn't great at that. I just think Kevin's natural personality didn't warm to other people. He was driven to how he developed the team, driven how to make the best person he could be. And then everybody else was left to fend on themselves, where Ben was the other way and Joe was the other way, and made sure that, you know, the human element came out, made the players in the group comfortable with, in the surroundings they were in, comfortable they could talk to this global superstar when it comes to the cricket front. And I think that's what's the difference between Ben as a captain now, you know, than some of the others, that egos of, or big egos that potentially have had it.
Ben Stokes is in the top line, nor's Rob Keyes, nor's Kevin Peterson. It's time to find out what that is.
The top line.
Okay, guys, the top line. I'm going to give you mine first because, of course, the county championships are taking place at the same time as the IPL, and the kind of like feeling is all the best players are playing in the IPL and, you know, nobody's playing in... It's just Darren Stevens. Darren Stevens just gets cussed every single time the county championship is criticised, which is ridiculous. But essentially, it's not true as well. Not just about Darren Stevens, but the best English players, many of them are playing the county championship. And, of course, for reasons that we all know well enough, the best Pakistani players as well, and some pretty good Australians as well. Pakistan, I thought, have been perfection this week. So that's my top line. Awesome Aussies and Pakistan perfection. We could talk about some of the more... the moments moving on. But I think, Harmy, you agree. Your top line is something similar.
Mine's a beautiful game, why we love the game. And there was a picture of Pujara and Rizwan batting together, playing together. Even Rizwan was bowling. And there'll be a few people will criticise county cricket for Mohammed Rizwan, one of the best wicketkeepers in world international cricket, bowling. Took an unbelievable catch. But the picture for me was with... you know, I think it's a 100 partnership between Pujara and Rizwan. Two guys playing for nations who can't play each other unless they play in international world competitions, ICC events. Two guys playing in the same dressing room, sharing stories. That, for me, is why we love the game. I thought that was a brilliant picture for the world game, to say, look, countries might be arguing with each other, countries might be, you know, at loggerheads with each other, but individuals, we've got so much respect for the game that we play the game properly, we play the game nicely, we play the game the best we possibly can, and players from India and Pakistan can play on the same side.
And what about you, Nick? Top line from the last week of the county championship?
I just liked how many sort of, let's go gutsy draws, let's say. A lot of teams that looked a long way behind in their games going to the final day, but then one way or another, and it really was one way or another, sort of came out with a draw. So whether it was Adam Wheater batting for nearly 200 balls for Essex, whether it was Gloucester conceding 600, then ending 440 for two, whether it was Grant Stewart hitting a runnable 90, whether it was Durham, it was sort of similar to Gloss, and then Alex Lees and Sean Dixman out there and put on 300 for the first wicket. I guess it says something about the wickets and how little they broke up, or how, you know, how, like, or the other side of that is how, you know, how good for Bass they remain. But yeah, that there were very few games that were, I mean, Warwickshire were soundly beaten at Somerset, weren't they? And Middlesex beat Leicester within 3 days, but that was very much on Leicester's first innings more than anything else. I mean, but there was nothing... Yeah, there were mostly just games that sort of went down to the wire, weren't they? Went down to the final day. I think we were... The weather killed a couple of really good-looking finishes at Headingley and the Aegeus
Bowl. Yeah, Lancashire. Hampshire-Lancashire looked like it could be an absolute classic.
Yeah, but...
the Derbyshire-Leicester game.
Derbyshire-Leicester
game was unbelievable.
Yeah, and well, that was what... I mean, it was only in the last over, wasn't it, when James Harris decided that they were going to settle on a draw. That was a great game, and sort of different kind of draw, wasn't it? They were chasing 350 odd overs, and Sam Northeast and Miles Labuschagne 80 odd each, and a lot of draws, but I think slightly more interesting draws in places than perhaps we had last week, when there were a few games that you could... I thought it was a great irony to Surrey playing out this very high scoring, quite tedious draw somewhere at a ground that wasn't the Oval, because there's a lot of, you know, I think if you looked at that scoreline in isolation, a lot of people would roll their eyes, go, here we go, another Oval pitch, whereas actually it was Bristol, which perhaps might have surprised some people. But fair play, once again, I guess fair play to all those sides that were that far behind those games, and in a fair few cases sort of saved them quite comfortably.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, so The top lines were gutsy draws, awesome Aussies and Pakistani perfection and the beautiful game. So let's look at some of the more individual moments of success. Top three moments of the week.
Moments of the week.
OK, well, I made mention of the Pakistanis who are playing in the county championship. I've listed seven that starred. These are just the guys that did well. There's some injured guys and some guys that didn't play or didn't do so well. But Mohammed Abbas rocked up with another three for Hassan Ali, another five for Harris Ralph. He took a five for as well, but I think he picked up...
He's hurt himself, hasn't he? Yeah, he's missing this week.
Yeah. Big story, Mohammed Amir back playing first-class cricket and seeing catches go down.
not sure he's one of the ones he starred. Wicketless in 603 all out. It was his first first-class game for 3 years. He won't be queuing up for another one.
Well, Jamie Smith has dropped on 48. He went on to score 234. So that does summed up Mohammed Amir. Shan Masood scored, he registered his lowest returns in a first-class game this season. 102 from two innings, so his average has gone down. Mohammad Rizwan, you may mention, Harmy, batting alongside Pujara. That was his first score of note, but bowled and took a blinder. He hit 79. And Nick, we were both at Lords, weren't we? Rob Key, I was out the back.
You were all there talking to Rob Key, and I was watching some cricket in the front.
And all I could hear was these kids going absolutely crazy. Yeah. And I'm out by the nursery ground waiting for Rob Key, and I'm hearing screaming and cheering and all sorts going on. I'm thinking, that sounds like a lot of kids. Mm. Anyway, went up to the media. It was a lot of kids. 2,000 children screaming as Shaheen Afridi is on a hat-trick at Lords. It was it was absolutely brilliant.
But you know what was quite nice about that, actually? Because it was 2,000 kids from 55 primary schools across 17 London boroughs, I think. But what was actually quite nice about the screaming and the cheering was that it didn't have to be Shaheen. Because it was sort of 2,000, you know, uninitiated kids at county cricket. And, you know, when it was, you know, they were chanting Ethan Bamber's name, because like, he was down the fine leg with them. Like, Nathan South, you know, they were all queuing up for Nathan South's autograph. How many of them knew of Shaheen Afridi or were cheering because it was Shaheen Afridi? I genuinely don't think that was... It was a great coincidence. And I thought Middlesex missed the trick by not having Shaheen down at fine leg actually at that end, just to stand there and meet them all. But yeah, I thought what was quite lovely actually was that it was completely sort of indiscriminate. You know, they could have brought Sam Robson on to bowl his leg spin, and they'd have built him up like he was Shaheen Afridi. So, but it was great. It was an initiative that Middlesex ran every year. I think they've got another one with secondary schools that I've just seen them advertising in the last few days, trying to get schools to come down. And I don't think they were just watching. I mean, there'd be a fair few people who'd say that sounds more like a punishment than a school trip, but. It wasn't just watching the cricket. I think they met the players, did some activities on the nursery ground. But it was cool. It was very loud. It was very, very loud. But I think it caused some problems for the live stream, apparently, because the effects mic was... I mean, you guys will know more about this than me, but the effects mic was being hammered by 2,000 kids in the mound stand. But no, it was a really cool thing. And I think quite strange for a lot of the players, because, you know, you don't get... you know, for some of those guys who don't play blast cricket, let's say that you know, that's probably the biggest crowd you play in front of. And that's not being facetious or dumbing down county cricket. That's just the way it is. You have 2,000 people packed up a stand chanting your name, which I don't think happens every day at Lords or Greater Road or wherever you're playing.
Do you not think that's what the ECB can?
Oh, it should happen a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, do better.
It's a funny one. It should happen a lot more. I guess they can't be there for every game, or they wouldn't be at school. But no, 100%. It strikes me as something that's a very... I'm sure there are logistical challenges. But once they're there, it's... Yeah, they seem like they had a great time. I didn't meet them, but you only had to hear them to hope they had a really good time and hope at the very least they go back with the same school next year. And, you know, in the best case, you know, I guess in an ideal world, they love it and they go back with their families. But 100%. I mean, you know, if it happens once, they never go again. It's sort of for show, isn't it? But that kind of thing should happen a lot more at every ground. I'm sure, and I think a lot of clubs do it. I don't think that was a one-off Middlesex.
I keep reminded. I've got to tell you this. You'll not kill me for telling it, Sean Udall. But I remember when Sean Udall came into the England side in 2005 to India as a 40-year-old. I had to tell him that one of my early remembrance of Sean Udall was on a school trip, under 12s school trip to Cheltenham. It was a Northumberland Cricket School's tour to Cheltenham, and Hampshire were playing obviously Gloucester. And I think Malcolm Marshall broke, one of the West Indians broke Bill Athey's arm, and Courtney Walsh broke Sean Udall's arm. I remember walking by the players' pavilion, and there's Sean Udall with a strap, a cast on his wrist like that. And I had to tell him that I remember that from being a 12-year-old as he got picked into the England squad as a teammate. So, and the memories like that, they go with kids. They stick with your kids stick with it. And if they get better, they get better. And some of them kids, I would say 10% of them children will play cricket at a certain level throughout the rest of their lives. And they remember seeing Afridi bowl. They remember chanting names of a few of the Middlesex cricketers. And they'll remember that for the rest of their lives, because that probably the first introduction into cricket, which is fantastic. So it has to happen throughout the counties if possible. And if the ECB can help fund buses to get them there, I think they'll benefit. The ECB will benefit in the long run.
Nick, what are the moments of the week?
I love runs in a losing cause. I've always just, and I think we're too great.
Get him a t-shirt.
Speaking as the club cricketer I am, if you can sit down at the end and wonder what your teammate's been doing all day. There were two great examples of it, weren't there? Ed Barnard's, I think it was 160 odd not out in the second innings. April specialist, he'd never scored a first class ton until last April. Felt like that was the thing that was sort of holding him back in terms of people believe, whether people considered him a proper rounder or not. Got a ton away at Essex, I think. Got another one shortly after. And I think his average of the last year has been exponentially bigger than any time in the past. 160-odd against a very good Notts attack. I think it was a funny one, that wasn't it? Everyone was focusing on that game to see how Stuart Broad went in his first outing. Then Dane Patterson took 8 for. But Broad got, 45 off 20-odd. But no, Ed Barnard, then I was at Lords to watch Ben Mike, who had a really strange game because he didn't come on to bowl until the 98th over. And Middlesex were already well past Leicester's first innings, which was, I think, well below par on a pitch that actually was pretty fine, I think. I mean, I think Middlesex bowled very well and have got a very, very, very good attack, as we touched on last week. But Ben Mike came on, and it was interesting because the ECB had their speed guns in place at Lords for the second, third and fourth day. And Mike came on, and there's always been chat that he's fairly brisk, and he was clocked at 85 a fair bit of the day. He's only 23, he's had a fair few stress fractures in his youth. Bats at 7, came on to at 4:15, bounced out to Evie Rowland-Jones, cleaned up Luke Holm with a big Yorker, two couple of guys nicked off to slip, and then he came out to bat the next day, about 100 for 5, and whacked a runner ball 99 not out. And unfortunately, he was left high and dry, because Bjorn Hendricks at the other end left a straight one. So he, 99 unbeaten, didn't get the chance to get his 100, because the guy at the other end didn't even play a shot. And then lost the game by 10 wickets. So, in my little world of runs and losing calls, that sounds like a pretty decent outing.
that is terrific.
But no, he's a good cricketer. I mean, there's some chat after from Paul Nixon who said that they'd sort of challenge him with his attitude and, to try and produce this more often. And I think he admits himself that I think he'd have liked to bowl for the 98th over, certainly. But I think there's perhaps been a perception that he doesn't always run up and take 4-15. He can go at 4s and 5s and spray it a bit, which I guess if you don't have many runs on the board is a bit of a problem, but he takes wickets and he was really impressive.
Well, that's one to watch out for. You know Paul Nixon well, Harmy, I'm sure. To challenge someone's attitude, how would you imagine Paul Nixon would go about doing that?
To be fair, you'd have to question if somebody's got a poor attitude around Paul Nixon, because Paul Nixon's one of the most infectious person I have ever met. He's the most enthusiastic bloke that I've ever met. Can be full on, I must admit. That said, with the utmost respect, and because he wants his team to do well, he wants his players to do well. And if somebody's got a poor attitude, I'd question the individual, because Paul Nixon will help you be the best person you possibly can in every way, shape or form, because that's all Paul Nixon knows. He really does. I think he's going to be a fantastic coach for a number of years to come, but his enthusiasm for the game, if you struggle with that in that dressing room, then I think you need to have a look at yourself in the mirror, because Nico will always be there to help. And that's why I would love Leicester to do well, because of the way Paul Nixon's outlook in life is towards helping people become better. And I think Leicester have got better under Paul Nixon, and I think the world strive to be better. And 4 for 15 and 99s. Tell you what, if you can get his if he has got a poor attitude and you can get that right, yeah, the boy might have a future, a decent future further up the.
Well, I think it was more about knowing that he can do that, if you know what I mean, than anything else, rather than any tangible fault.
Sometimes it's a belief. Yeah, you've got so much in your locker. Yeah, you've got so much, but if sometimes, and this is the thing that really annoys me about some of the stuff that you see in sort of with county cricket and then goes above into from county cricket. We pick people on potential. Oh, you can potentially do this, potentially do that. Picking players who haven't got first-class hundreds. Picking players who don't have too many fifers. The only way you can learn how this great game is played is by experiences in the game. And maybe it is something that the belief that, you know, the young man didn't believe that he could get 99 off 105 balls, or he could get 4 for 15. But now he has. Let's watch the space on that one, because if he has got a lot of talent, then I'm pretty sure that this little week of experience in the game of cricket will stand him in good stead. The next time he gets 2 for or 3 for, and then he can go through the back end of the tail, or he can get over the line to get that 100. So watch the space on him, because, you know, if he has gone through the experience, it'll certainly stand him in good stead, because there's no better feeling than contributing for your team.
I think there's something interesting about this is just a thought on top of my head, but I think having these speed guns at a few of the grounds the next few weeks is quite an interesting thing, because I don't know how often guys are accurately clocked. I don't know how quick guys know they are. But I think if guys come away from games, you know, there was that Jamie Overton story last week, wasn't it? He was clocked at 90 at the Oval. I think it'll be interesting to see how players, because you may well see players sort of confidence levels. I mean, Harmy, you'll know far more about this than me, but confidence levels go through the roof if they realise that actually they're bowling 86 rather than 82 or whatever they thought. You know, if you're clocked at a decent pace, given what's going on in cricket at the moment, it can only leave you in a pretty decent spot sort of going into the next, you know, year or two with the way the bowling stocks are, and I guess the spots that will eventually open up with retirements and stuff like that.
Just a quick point on that. I also think with that, as a bowler, you can't go through the motions. You can't hide. You have to be the best you possibly can. That's gonna elevate the level of performance, because, you know, gone are the days of, right, you've got 4 overs or 5 overs after tea when it's a bit cold, there's not much happening. You go through the motions. And I'm not saying everybody does that. I'm saying there has been a question mark of whether county cricket stands still for a little bit. Does it meander? I'm mentioning his name again, Peterson, mediocrity. When it comes to, well, if you've got all the stats and all the gadgets and toys that are close to what the international is, you know somebody bowls at 85 mile an hour. The minute he drops it, then you start working with that individual to think, well, can you get through a full day's play of bowling at 85 mile an hour? But from the bowler's point of view as well, you can also feel it, where you go and have your 2 good spells and before lunch and after lunch, and then you get to tea time and you have that spell. And if the information's telling you that you've dropped off, then you look at yourself and think, right, I've got to make a conscious effort of being bang on it after tea. You know, you might go at 4 or 5 and over, but at least you're going at the information's there for you as an individual, you know, as the cricketer to make yourself better, which I think can only help the level of performance and the level of quality in county cricket.
Mm. Quickly, a great week for Ducks, I thought. A great week for Ducks. We had Kyle Abbott,
I thought
4 in a row. Nathan Gilchrist, 6 in a row, 3 consecutive pairs, which is a great effort, I think. Ooh, but
that's Ajit Agarkar territory.
He's equalled the world record. He's equalled the world record, and he's got. I think I don't want to jinx him, but they're at home. I think his next game's home at Beckenham, and Beckenham is a motorway, so he's every chance of a run. But I think that's 4 pairs in 8 games, which is an extraordinary achievement. for want of a better word, I don't know how that happens, but I'm sure there are a couple of poor decisions in there. But
there was one other duck which I saw scoring a duck in a 1,000-run game, and I thought of you when it happened, Nick.
That was unfortunate, because it was what Because what were they? What did Harris and Dent put on for the first wicket? About 200.
Oh, 250 odd.
Well, I felt sorry for Dent as well, because he ended 200. I mean, Dent, he finished just short of his. I think there was. Well, Miles Hammond was 75 not out going to that final day, and Dent was 50 short of his personal best. And then it rained all day on a day when presumably no one had anything to gain apart from those two. So I think for. And Jordan Clark in that game broke. I think he broke Surrey's all time record. And that's the highest score by Surrey number 9 and the highest. Eighth wicket partnership in the club's history as well, with Jamie Smith. So, not a game for bowlers, and not a game if you're the one bloke batting at three who gets naught. That is for sure.
We're talking about James Bracey, by the way, for those who aren't aware. And a few weeks ago, after he'd scored his second century of the season, Harmy said, "Come back to me when he scores a century against an attack against Lancashire or Surrey." And since then, he's hit three single-figure scores. So, Harmy, you're to blame. We've got a dash, though. We've got it. Because James Bracey actually is in Race to Lords, and that's what's now.
Race to Lords.
OK, Race to Lords. Now, guys, I'm going to need your help here because we're getting to the stage in the season where a couple of the people that were in the Race to Lords might be dropping out. Rory Burns and Dominic Sibley have not had a particularly good start. Zach Crawley as well. Is his position under threat? Probably not. But we might need to get some new names in there. Let's start with Burns. He was out for a single-figure score. He made 6 against Gloucestershire. Ollie Pope. Interesting that Stokes has said he's going to bat at 6. So we need a 4 and a 5. England need a 4 and a 5. Pope weighed in with another 80-odd. Folks didn't play. He picked up an injury, so didn't play. And Sam Curran didn't bowl, but hit 64. Sam Robson. He's in dispatches. We might have to drop Sam Robson. He hit 16 and 22 not out against Leicestershire. Alex Leese, who was on the Cricket Collective with Harmy on TalkSport 2, the following on podcast, another century. Missed a couple of games with an injury, but second inning century against Sussex. James Bracey, that duck against Surrey. Well, that must be painful. There was about, what, how many centurions? There were 3 double centurions, weren't there? Either way, he got a duck. Dom Bess, I mean, are we going to have to start dropping Dom Bess from... I'm going to
he
let
got
you
runs.
Guys
Dom
decide.
Dom Bess got 90-odd, didn't he?
He did, he got 89.
He got about it for...
80. He did score 89.
Without being facetious, I think the issue with race laws at the moment is that as much as England have had, as much as Key's in and Stokes is in, there's still no coach, there's still no selector. So ultimately, we are speaking for a point of complete speculation.
Do you understand how talk radio works?
but it'd be fascinating because I guess we're still, I guess it'll be on. But a serious point, I think, who decides where Root bats? Is that still a Joe Root decision now he's not captain, or is that a is that a new head coach, and is that Ben Stokes?
Wow, it's very, very interesting. I found it very interesting last year, or was it the year before, when Ben Stokes captained England for that one game against West Indies, which England promptly lost. He dropped Stuart Broad, right? He did have a say in selection because it was the role. He was a captain, and I think, and I don't know. It was asked to Rob Key. They haven't decided yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if the captain was back on the selection panel. Stokes brought in Mark Wood for that Test match ahead of Stuart Broad. Didn't work out, but he backed his man, and I think that's the kind of character Ben Stokes is. I think Ben Stokes will back his... He will have an idea, having shared a dressing room with all of these guys, he will have an idea of who his men are. So I wouldn't be surprised if there is a change or two from the team that toured West Indies. And we don't know, because as you say, there is no selection panel, there's no head coach. But Ben Stokes, we know, will want to make his own decisions, and we know he'll have an opinion. So, an opinion on a one player, I want to throw your way. Because, say Root does go back to 4, there is a number 3 in there, in Darwin Milan, who did have a decent record at 3. And he has scored a lot of runs, scored 152 against Kent. He's 3rd in the run scorers in the Division 1, I think. 395 runs at 79. And if you are talking about an England team that's going to go back to basics... And he's going to say, who is the best team to win now? I think that Milan in at 3, Root back to his favourite position. We know that he wants to bat at four. Statistically, he's better at four. Stokes at six. And then you have a Pope or a whoever at five. Bairstow at... Or you have Bairstow at five. And then Folks at seven. If you're going back to basics and saying, let's just pick our best team, that is as strong a team as I think that that anybody else can put forward right now.
Yeah, I've got no problem with Milan. The experiment to sort of go to the West Indies, go at three, I still think he solves more problems batting at three. Will he score more or less runs? I think he'll score the same runs at three than he will at four. I think he's just a world-class player. I think it's easier to bat four and bat five to integrate somebody into their group, which would be, you say integrate, and I'm not looking long-term. I'm thinking where it's easier to bat for somebody else that's not Joe Root. And that, if it is Pope bats four and Brooke bats five, that means Bairstow has to keep wicket. Because Bairstow has to play. Even though he's having a shocker in the IPL, he has to play. Because
I'm not even watching. Yeah. We don't need to talk about the IPL, Harmony.
Yeah, no.
Which is good.
Johnny's got to hope the selectors isn't watching it. Because if they are, Butler comes back in and Johnny Bairstow doesn't play. but that's not what we're picking the group on. The batting is, for me, I think is quite straightforward and quite simple. Yeah, I agree with Lees and Crawley will open a batting. You've got to stick to Alex Lees. I thought the only thing he didn't do in the West Indies was get that score. He looked defensively quite solid. Yes, you might think, right, he's limited in shots. But the guy can bat over 100 and odd balls at each innings. If he does that, he gives you a start. And England need to get off to good starts to give themselves the best chance possible.
I think I'd also say I'd chuck in on Lees quickly as well, that I think people who watch him for the first time in the Caribbean will think he's limited and at times a bit shotless, but he's actually got a very good List A record as well. Like he can, he's got a game. I do wonder sometimes whether it's sort of part of that sort of poison chalice of opening the batting for England, is that you come in, you're sort of so scared of what it will look like if you're caught flashing a wide one, that guys do go into their shell a bit. And you also know you're not going to get many opportunities in England have been through so many guys, since Strauss, haven't they, that you're not going to get your 15, 20 games to feel at home. So actually, if it means you are extra circumspect, I do think, certainly at the start, he looked, as Simon says, I think the one thing he didn't do is go on and get the score the Granada that he probably deserved. But actually, the one thing he's done that certainly Zach Crawley's not done since then is come back here and get two big tons. I think it was a career best he got at, or his high school for Durham, certainly at, I think it was Glamorgan, wasn't it? And the only other name I'd throw in there at number three, and I know we've been there, but James Vince has played 9 for your test in Milan. Milan's got a pretty mediocre record in England. Is a few years older. Vince is all I've seen Vince get a very good ton this season, albeit on a pretty good deck at Canterbury. And I think if you speak to a lot of players, they'll all say the best player they play against or see is James Vince.
Yeah.
And I think we hear it consistently, don't we? Yeah, and I do think what I do find slightly unfair with Vince sometimes is the way that people talk about him. You would think he'd played 40 tests and failed. He's played 13 across two stints, and it just so happens that 5 of those tests came in an Ashes series, where there are more eyes than anything else, so it gets magnified. So if you take, and you can't take the Ashes away, but point being, it's still a fairly small sample size, given the way we talk about. If you go back to that 17-18 series, Milan had a better series than Vince, but actually Vince was run out for 80-odd at Brisbane and Milan made 100 at Perth. You do sometimes wonder if that's sort of the sliding doors moment, don't you? So if Vince gets a ton at Brisbane, he locks himself in for 30 tests. He got 50-odd at...
I also look, having played and seen the jump from first-class cricket to test match cricket, it's one example this 1 week, but James Vince come off the back of 100 on a good deck.
Yeah.
And I always say I'll judge people when they play against good bowlers under pressure. James Vince played against a 40-year-old this week, the best that's ever played the game. Got met twice. Yeah. Jimmy Anderson bowled in a test match where, which would be, because I've seen some of the footage of it, Jimmy Anderson bowled one side of the wicket and created pressure. What they do in test match cricket, they basically created pressure, bowling dot ball after dot ball after dot ball in a good area, putting pressure on the batsman. This is where English cricket, and it's not just James Vince, it's a lot of players that have had a go at England. Jimmy Anderson's the master at it. Jimmy Anderson got him out twice for not very many, in a fashion which he's been out in Test match cricket like that. So it's not a knock to knock out James Vince. I feel awful having a go like that. But this is what I'm saying. Across the board, players that have come into international cricket who haven't survived and gone back because they've had a mental or technical frailties, judge them when they play against somebody. And I tell you one thing that are really good this first seven games, there's some excellent international bowlers out there now. And I think the players that score runs against top bowlers, they're the ones that I'd be saying. And I just watched that in the two innings that Vince had against Anderson and thought, when everybody goes about, he should have been the New England captain. Everybody goes about James Vince.
I didn't say that.
Great county cricketer, but I can see why he's had problems in international cricket.
Yeah.
Jimmy Anderson exposed them in his first game back. And I think
that's 37 overs for six, isn't it?
I'd be looking at.
The other one at Lang's actually plays with Jimmy is Josh Bohannon, is worth a shout, because a lot of people think he'll play for England before the year's out.
Absolutely.
As well.
Guys, we're racing time as per usual. Let's just wrap through. You mentioned Josh Bohannon, he hit 33 against Hampshire. You mentioned James Anderson, Harmy, 3 for 24 and 3 for 36 against the same team. James Vince's Hampshire, he scored 2. I think it was caught behind or caught in the slips for 2, and then LBW for 32 against Jimmy Anderson. Dom Sibley, Warwickshire having a bit of a shocking start. 12 and 2 for Sibley. Zach Crawley, we made mention of him, 4 and 5 against Yorkshire. Matt Parkinson didn't play, somewhat disappointingly.
Talked to Matt Jack Leach, last week.
Sorry, we won't mention you again, Matt. Jack Leach, 1 for 32 and 2 for 35, scored some runs as well. Talking about players who had a chance for England and didn't get that many games, and they had to play an Ashes series. Adam Lythe, though he hasn't got off to a good start, he hit 7. Who am I missing? Oh, Craig Overton, top of the wicket-taking. 20 wickets at 14 so far. 2 for 12 and 2 for 41. He was another of the Duck squad. And Saqib Mahmood did not play, nor did Dan Lawrence. Is he injured?
Yeah, Dan Lawrence is
just rested.
No, Lawrence has got a hamstring injury.
There we go. So that's your race to Lords. We might bring in... We're going to bring in... Because Harry Brook... Didn't Harry Brook score... he hit a big century.
190.
We'll get Harry Brook in next week, and there might be a couple of these names that start disappearing. OK, let's go to the mailbag.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Mailbag.
Okay, this is the Mailbag. We're going to zip through a couple of your questions because we are fighting time. Let's have a look at some of the questions. People are getting involved at the Cricketer Mag on Twitter. Fulham John, Harmy611. You'll have to remind me what your Twitter is, Nick.
Nick Friend One.
They can't be. There can't be two of them. Let's have a look at some of the questions. I'm saying I really should have got this ready. Any future leaders, captains emerging from the early stages of the county season worth keeping up? That's a very good question. Aria, gets in touch on Twitter. Any future leaders of England coming through? That's a very good question.
The biggest thing England can do, Ben Stokes can do, is start winning from home. If England win home test matches, it means batsmen are scoring runs. And if batsmen score runs, natural leaders will come out of that. You know, Joe Root wasn't a natural-born leader. Neither was Sir Alistair Cook. Sir Andrew Strauss was a natural-born leader. Michael Vaughan was a natural-born leader. Michael Vaughan was the best player in the team. That's why he took over from Nasser Hussain. So what do you have to do? Well, you have to do a progression. You have to win. England need to get back to winning at home. If they win at home, a leader will come out of the pack.
Aritra says, Pujara is surely not finished now. He's been brilliant so far. Is it a little bit of a push to think that he might get a recall to the India side? Although saying that, India do play one test in England this summer, don't they? So you never know. Do you think there's any chance that Pujara's county cricket form could see him back in the India side, Nick?
I don't necessarily think he'd get back in on the back of, you know, on the base. I don't think someone like Pujara, I think he's at the stage of his career, you'd like to think he's got nothing to prove. I mean, you know, runs in county cricket are great and will help, you know, and great, you know, Sussex will be chuffed that, because they needed someone to come in and score a bucket load of runs, and he's obviously doing that for them. But you'd like to think he's not finished. You'd like to think he'd get another go, but I don't think he'd get another go because he scored runs for Sussex, if that makes sense. I think he's just a very good player, isn't he? He's been a very good player for a decade and more. He's had a pretty two pretty poor years by his standards in Test cricket. Am I surprised that Pujara has scored a bucket load of runs for Sussex on the pitches that have been played on so far? No, he's just good, isn't he? He's been a world class player for a very long time, but genuinely Sussex did need, you know, Sussex struggled. This isn't to criticise Travis Head, but they had a very young side last year and they put a lot of onus on their overseas players scoring a load of runs, and he didn't, and they didn't win any games and they struggled, and they've still not won one this year. But you know, the reason they will be competitive, the reason they're competitive is because they've got someone, sort of an overseas linchpin who's averaging 100 plus, isn't he, at the moment. So that's what you want when you bring your overseas player in. Rizwan's not actually done it yet, but I'm sure he will. But that's the difference, I think, between this year and last year so far for Sussex, that they've got an overseas player churning out double tons.
Sorry, the thing with Pujara for me is India have got so many good players, and I think the age that Pujara's at, I think the ship sailed for him. The only way, it's not any disrespect to him or Sam Billings, the only way he plays for India again, if they have a shocker the day before the game and he's the only one within 300 miles of Edgbaston that he qualifies to go and play. I think he's racing.
It happens when England tour Australia, whoever is there. Look at Sam Billings. So we shall see. Anyway, that was a mailbag. Get your questions into us and we'll answer some more next week. But it's time to just take a look at this week's County Championship fixtures in County Preview.
Match of the week.
Okay, unless I've got my maths wrong, 7 fixtures taking place starting today, Thursday to Sunday. And Division 1, Surrey against Northants, Lancashire against Warwickshire, Hampshire against Gloucestershire, and Essex against Yorkshire. Off the back of those, which one stands out for you, Nick?
Oh, a repeat of the great Bob Willis Trophy final, for a game best forgotten by all, I think. Lancs, Warwickshire, obviously top two sides of the country last year. It was a very bad game of cricket at Lords. I think that was the general view shared by all. I think Lancs were 12 for 6 at one point, which wasn't ideal. But Warwickshire got big runs and won, and were the best team in the country. And as you said, haven't had the same sort of start this season, but they are a very good team. And as George said about Essex and Somerset, I think the last couple of weeks will be absolutely fine. I suspect still be challenging in the season. That's had the Alex Davis derby now, isn't it? So he'll want some runs at the top of the order. Essex Yorkshire looks a very good game. But no, Lancs Warwickshire for me looks like the game to be at, especially if Jimmy's playing, and then obviously Chris Wokes might be involved with Warwickshire as well. So you've got a lot of very good cricketers on the show. Hopefully Saqib's back involved. I'm almost certain that Matt Parkinson will be back involved. Yeah, looks a pretty good game of cricket that, to me.
Hampshire Gloucestershire. I mean, Gloucestershire haven't won a game, I don't think, this season. They've scored some runs. Hampshire have been a bit off the boil. They're a bit hit or miss, aren't they? They would have been a really interesting game against Lancashire if the rain hadn't affected day 4. last weekend, but for a team that had been heavily tipped for the title,
not least not, on here,
they're not showing it at the moment, are they, Harmy?
No, they're not. Like I said, it's hit or miss. They've had a few good scores, a few bad scores. It would have been, you're right, I think it would have been nice to see if they could have, you know, forced a result in the game against Lancashire. Again, they've got some good players, but like I said, right at the very top, when you talk about on paper, who are the best players in each of the sides, I think your Hampshire's up at the top at the minute. Surrey up at the top, rightly so. They both play against sides who aren't playing, you know, the best cricket. They're languishing in the sort of bottom half of Division One. So Surrey and Hampshire will be fancying themselves to extend the run at the top of the table. Interesting to see how Yorkshire goes at Essex. I imagine that'll be a decent surface down there. Hampton and McGrath against his old side. But I'm with Nick. I think the game of the week is potentially the so-called leader of the attack in the Caribbean to the best ever leader of the attack that's ever played the game in Anderson. Wokes against Anderson at Old Trafford. And it's got to be the return of Matt Parkinson, because I was in disbelief when he didn't play last week.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I wonder if that Jimmy, after playing two matches, will make way and Saqib comes back. We shall have to see. Division 2, Glamorgan against Leicestershire. I wonder if Stephen Finn, who didn't bowl for Sussex last time out, will play against his old county, Middlesex, at Hove. I think it's at Hove. It's Sussex are at home. And Worcestershire against Durham. Durham again. The sooner that Matt Potts has got... is it Brydon Carse coming back? I know that... I think he played for the seconds, Harmy, but it does look like Durham are too reliant on young Matt Potts in terms of the bowling.
Yeah, Potts has bowled nicely. He's bowled really well. We had a good exchange between him and Alex Lees on the Cricket Collective when Potts was trying to say what a young, inexperienced, not used to the media, one game at a time, using a few cliches, where Alex Lees just completely rinsed him and said, "No, you are thinking about playing for England." Which I thought was a lovely exchange between two guys who are lovely, two really, really nice guys, grounded guys from Durham who have done well so far. One's in the England setup. I think one will get into the England setup, probably white ball before red ball in Matt Potts. But Brydon Carse has played second team game and he got runs. He got a lot of runs. He got big 100, 130, I think, over the last few days. And he's just progressing his rehab when it comes to the bowling. And I think when you get him back, as well as the England captain comes back into the fold before the first test, then Durham are going to have a very, very good side. That's a powerful middle order in the second division, where you've got Keegan Peterson, you've got Scott Borthwick, David Bedingham, and obviously Ben Stokes. With Alex Lees at the top, that's a formidable unit. So the one thing I will say on the county stuff that's happening, the pitches have been good, really good. So we've got to credit the ground staff, and hopefully that will carry on when the challenge of a lot more games in short spaces of time. And the wickets have been ready for fast bowlers or spin bowlers. And nothing against the likes of Chris Rushworth or Darren Stevens or anybody like that. It has been bowlers of pace who have had to bend their back and do the job for their team. And that ultimately will make English cricket better. It's got to. And Matt Potts is definitely going to be one in that. And hopefully another good surface down at Worcester for Durham.
Essentially on that, I dare say, I don't have the stats, probably I could be wrong, but for the leading wicket taker in the county championship to have 20 wickets at the end of April, is feels like it must be significantly down on recent years. Which, and different names, as Harmy says, means probably speaks to how batsman friendly the pitch scene, but also how much the leading bowlers. I mean, the ones I've been most impressed with have been the guys I've seen have been Tom Helm, certainly the English guys, Tom Helm, Jamie Overton, Craig Overton, the guys who, as you said, have had to who I guess are, you know, 6'5" and have found the extra bounce, to found a bit of extra pace and that kind of thing. So it's I think when we look back at the end of the season, it will certainly be the bit of the start of the year that stays in the memory. I think the way that the draws, the runs, I think there've been 70 plus hundreds, haven't there, which I think is which is enormous. The average first inning score is up on is up massively, I think, on last year already. I mean, at the moment at least. So it may well change as pitch change and conditions change and stuff like that, and there's a lot of games to prepare for. But it's been the most interesting part, hasn't it, of this first month, sort of how differently things have played out, perhaps they have in the past. Albeit April has always, in recent years, been a pretty good time to bat.
Okay, that's the county preview. We're going to finish the show up, as we do every week, with One to Watch.
One to Watch.
Okay, so no George this week, but I can tell you that Mason Crane, who is his player to watch, did take some wickets, 2 for 28 and 2 for 110 against Durham, but not playing for Hampshire, playing for Sussex. He's moved there on a month loan. My guy, Dustin Melton, did not play. Don't think he's playing for the seconds either. We've made mention, Harmy, of Matt Potts. He weighed in with another couple, 2 for 75 against Sussex. And what about you, Nick? Ed Pollock, he did join the Duck Club again, but 31 in first innings.
Yeah, run a ball 30. Took on a Notts' new ball pair. And there was one of Dane Patterson's eight, I think, wasn't it? Not the worst not the worst week of the four of us, but he'd have liked more.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, so where are you going to be, Nick? What game are you going to be attending, or what games will you be attending?
Potentially at Hove for Sussex Middlesex, or the Oval for Surrey Northants. That is slightly TBC, depending on some things.
Well, look, take a photo, okay?
Yes.
Well, let's see a photo. Harmy, what are you going to be doing? Did Charlie play this week? How did he get on?
Yeah, he played in a game which they contrived to be losing, then winning comfortably, and then threw it away at the end. He didn't have one of his best days. He bowled his five overs. He managed to run himself out after hitting that straight to extra cover in the air, watching it loop up, drop catch, and then not look at his partner and still be standing right next to him 22 yards away. And then he ended up getting run out. So it was a proper village cricket way to go. It was freezing cold again. It rained for the majority of the day. Fingers crossed, Bedlington against Seton Burn, second team on Saturday. And Bedlington will be a lot better. And fingers crossed, it will be a lot warmer.
Brilliant stuff. Okay, well, Nick, Harmy, thanks for your time this week. George DeBell will be back with us next week and every week throughout the county season, looking back and looking forward at all the county championship cricket. But thanks for listening or watching Following On County Cricketer.
Well, that's it for another edition of Following On. Thanks for listening. And if you ever have any ideas for guests or have questions for the likes of Steve Harmison or Neil Manthorpe, feel free to tweet me at Fulham John or via at @cricket_TS. And either I or one of the team will make sure that your questions are read out on the show at the earliest convenience. Also, please take the time to leave a review. And if you're already a subscriber, then tell your mates to do the same. And if you want more content from the likes of Steve Harmison, then head over to his YouTube channel and tell him I sent you. Thanks for listening to Following On.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.